This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 380 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com. Joining me from Melbourne, once again, the man who's not Bruce Williams from CreativePhotoWorkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
Yes, I'm excellent. Thank you very much for asking, and thank you for checking in this week.
As I do.
As you do.
How's your week been?
My week has been busy.
Has it?
I've hardly had time for naps. I mean, I've squeezed a few in, of course, but
yeah.
Like today's example, I wouldn't have got more than 40 minutes of nap in.
Right. That's harsh.
Yeah, I know. So since we last talked, well, I did a thing with Tamron on Sunday.
Right.
Where I got to field test the new Tamron 24-70.
Nice.
With Lisa Saad, the Australian Photographer of the Year.
Right.
The AIPP Australian Photographer of the Year. Mm-hmm. She came along. She tested it as well.
Oh, she was the one with the trippy portraiture prize that was like silhouettes of people walking around a globe.
That's the one.
Yeah.
That's the one, the non-portrait prize.
That's it, yeah.
So she was there. I thought I'd keep that one pretty, yeah, I wouldn't mention that. I thought I'd be polite. Okay. I know, it's not like me. We had Andy McFeet, who's the head of Tamron Australia and does all, the business development manager, whatever you want to call him.
Yep.
So he was there. So we three were shooting, and we had a video crew to film us.
Oh, wow.
So that was kind of fun. I was on parenting duties,
right?
So I'd missed 10 with me,
right?
So she became my subject. but you know, it was really quite difficult because I don't shoot with a 24-70. I mean, I almost never, ever. I probably count on one hand the amount of times I've shot with a 24-70 in the last 5 or 10 years.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and so I had to shoot with nothing but that. So it was quite a wee challenge.
Yeah, right.
To come out with anything good. The weather was really bleak. Really bleak. So I thought, we're shooting indoors. Well, so I brought some lighting along.
Hang on. Just to wind it back a bit, because I'm pretty sure Tamron want a little bit of an apology there. Hard to shoot anything good. What you mean is because you like shooting in your 15-30 or with your 150-600. Yes?
Yeah, what I'm saying is I don't like shooting. It's hard for me.
Yeah.
To shoot anything good.
You're supposed to be promoting this new lens and you're saying you couldn't shoot anything good with it.
Well, I can't. I can tell you it's a cracking lens, though. I've got to say, focus speed is lightning.
Yeah.
It doesn't hunt at all. Incredibly, incredibly fast. Solid is a solid thing that's really solid.
Right.
And, yeah, weather sealing, all that sort of stuff. So it's a beautiful lens, but it's a challenge to shoot. And said, because the weather was bleak, I brought in a little folding backdrop and some lighting. Figured I'd do some studio stuff of kiddo.
Yeah.
But I couldn't do it with a 70 mil. Just couldn't find my zone.
That focal length just doesn't work for you.
Yeah, and I had a fairly small backdrop, which just doesn't help if you've got a lens that sees quite wide.
Yeah.
You're seeing off the end of the back. So that was kind of challenging. But then the sun came out and we popped outside and did sort of 10 minutes or so of shooting outdoors, and that came out pretty well. So
cool.
So I was rather pleased with that. So I got some reasonable shots with that.
Nice.
So that was Sunday. And then the rest of the week's been organizing. It's only about 8 or 9 weeks till I go off to India. So I'm just trying to get stuff organized, finalized for that.
Yep.
We close off bookings in a couple of weeks. So if anyone still wants to come, it's not too late.
Nice.
Come and join us. It's going to be awesome. So just organize, and then getting my Cuba tour organized for next year. So
oh, okay.
So
April
just about
again?
March into April.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So you have to be a little bit in April so you can sing the April Sun in Cuba song.
that's right.
Obligatory. So just organizing that. I'm just hoping to have that up and ready to be open for next week, which would be good.
Yeah.
And so that's been busy doing that and trying to fix this horrible email issue that I've got.
Yeah, right.
Whereas I said, I've been getting hundreds of thousands. So somebody hacked into my email, started sending hundreds of thousands of unsolicited emails out. Yeah. And, of course, hundreds of thousands of them bounced back.
Yep.
So at last count, my email folder was on 261,000 and something emails to delete.
Whoa.
And it's just bogging up the whole system. Even to try and delete them is becoming a nightmare.
Yeah.
So I'm going to see a guy tomorrow who knows stuff, who can... do stuff. because I can't even open my email on my phone anymore because it tries to download these 200 and it just clogs up and collapses. So I'm struggling. In fact, so I ended up going to Gmail to get Gmail to download my photos, my emails.
Yeah.
And that was working for a while. Then it said, oh, no, there's too many emails. Even we're clogged up.
Wow.
So I even broke Gmail, which I think is a fair effort.
That's an admirable achievement.
So that's been a little bit frustrating. And then I went out to meet I found out there's a photo wholesaler, importer, only 10 minutes from my place.
Right.
Which I didn't know there were that guy. So I went down and had a coffee and see the stuff they do. And they're the importers of Samyang lenses.
Okay.
Which, just on the quiet, I've got an 85mm 1.2 and a 14mm 2.8 Samyang in the front room there to have a bit of a play with.
Nice.
Which is, you know, it's good because I can play with them and go, oh, I'll see how much better the Tamron is. Yeah. If for no other reason, that the Samyang are manual focus and the Tamron, of course, are autofocus.
Yep.
And that benefit of speed and accuracy of someone who's aged like me with weary eyes.
Yeah.
That's a big plus.
Yeah.
But really nice lenses. I mean, so I've taken a couple of snappy, happy snappies with the 85-1.2. But once again, if you're focusing at 1.2, trying to manually focus, and it's a big heavy lens without stabilizer, I'm just not a good enough photographer to use it, quite frankly. I'm not saying the lens is not good, but just say I'm probably not. I haven't built the skills up, shall we say, or I've lost the skills, which will do that. So so they do that. They do the Timber range of bags.
Okay.
And I've got to say, they showed me through some of their bags. They're sensational bags.
Yeah, right.
Beautiful stuff. So really, really nice bags. Really well thought out. Really good quality.
Yep.
They've got Benro tripods.
Oh, yeah.
And again, beautiful stuff.
Yep.
Really nice tripods. And they also do the MiPhoto tripods.
Okay,
there's some little funky little things, but they've got some great little small travel ones, which I thought which are excellent. Yeah, okay. You've got some really nice tripods, only coming at a kilo,
right?
Yeah, which is not too bad at a kilo and go to decent height. And yeah, so it's kind of nice to meet up with those guys, and they do the UPIO brand of batteries, JUPIO brand of batteries. So I was sort of talking to them about the issue I think we talked about last week, where lithium batteries, even being taken on board planes, is starting to become a bit of an issue. So I talked to him about that, and he goes, oh, it's no problem. We've got this external pack that if you can't take your batteries for your camera batteries on board, you've got this external pack and you can connect that in and they'll go in. It just plugs into your battery pack and it runs your camera. I said, yeah, but that's a battery. And the world to take that on either. Like, oh. But they did have a fabulous dual charger for Olympus cameras, right, okay, that can be charged from USB. So if you've got a battery pack, like one you charge your phone with, you can charge this dual camera dual battery charger for your Olympus cameras.
Right.
Because Olympus, they're renowned for not having the best battery life.
Okay.
So imagine if you're, as an example, one of my legs of the Cuba trip, it requires a 5.5-hour drive to go from location A to location B now to the next destination for the next few days.
Right.
If you're running a bit low on batteries, you'd have your battery charger connected to this, to your little battery pack, and it'd be charging for those 5.5 hours.
Right.
Without and then you arrive there and you're ready to shoot again because your stuff's all ready to go.
Yep.
So I thought that was a really cool piece of kit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm rather impressed with that, I must say. And it'd be nice if I had something like that for Canon, which would be good. I'm not sure why there isn't. It'd be nice.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that. I did no work on my secret project I mentioned last week. I had no time for that at all this week.
Right.
Because I've been doing all this other stuff. But I've also got a brand new bag arriving tomorrow.
Oh, okay. New
so Think Tank Photo, the lovely people who look after me with bags, they have a side company called Mindshift Gear.
Okay.
And Mindshift Gear, a little bit more for the outdoorsy sort of people.
Right.
A little bit more, some more camera and backpack, but there's some really innovative design stuff for knowing that you might be in horrible conditions whatsoever shooting. So I've got a brand new bag arriving, which I can't tell anybody about because it's not available yet.
Right.
But I can be one of the first people to ever play with it, so it'll be rather nice.
Nice.
I'll pick that up tomorrow, and I think I might take that one to India with me, I'm thinking. So, because it's a lovely bright green colour.
Excellent.
You know, and I like a bit of colour in your bag, you know, rather than fade old black all the time. Yeah. So, when I'm allowed to, I'll tell you about that bag and see what it's like.
Nice.
And lastly, we had a little bit of fun this week with the photo industry regarding the old Jim's Photo Organization.
Yes.
For people who aren't aware or not from this country, yes. There's this large franchise company, which turns out, I found out, to be the world's largest home franchise company.
Right. And it did start here in Australia, didn't it?
It does, but it's the world's largest, apparently.
Yeah.
So it started out as Jim's Lawn Mowing.
Yep.
And then there was Jim's Fencing, Jim's Windows, Jim's Computers, Jim's Antennas, Jim's Baby Delivery. I don't know. There's a Jim's just about everything.
Yeah.
Well, this week they've launched Jim's Photography and Drones.
Yeah.
And much to the consternation of all sorts of people around the interwebs. Now, I personally don't have a problem with them.
Yeah.
I have no problem whatsoever with them having a franchise for photography. Where my slight consternation was in slightly misleading wording in their advertisement that as part of the franchise fee, you would become an AIPP, Australian Institute Professional Photographer, accredited member.
Right.
So you'd have accreditation. Now, the problem is all these people have worked for a very long time and been either rejected or had to submit multiple times lots of images to try and get accreditation and haven't got it or said took a long time to get there. They're pretty peeved if these people are getting it automatically.
But they're not. Yeah.
But the wording was phrased in a way that
implied.
And what it turns out is you will get an AIPP membership, but it's the emerging member.
Yeah.
Which isn't the same as an accredited member. Yeah. It means you're a startup. And that's fair enough. And that just gives you access to things like their workshops and all that kind of stuff. The big furor was really about this industry side of it as opposed to more competition.
I thought the wording of the response from AIPP was very carefully done and very well done.
Yeah.
Where they basically said, you know, they're not going to get it automatically. They will have to work their way up through the process just like any other photographer.
Exactly.
And anyway.
So I'm not sure. I mean, it's an interesting model because it's cost $22,500 to buy the franchise.
Wow.
Plus, you've got to buy all the signage. You've got to buy all this other stuff from them, vehicle signage, all sorts of gear. Who knows how much more this extra stuff is going to add to. I'm going to say let's add another 30 grand.
You're going to be looking at 40 to 50 grand entry.
I'd be imagining so, yeah. But they do guarantee you for the first 9 months, $1,400 a week.
Right.
Which adds up to about your 40 to 50 grand, you think. But I just don't know where they're going to it's going to be something very interesting to watch and see how they're going to generate the business.
Yeah.
That's going to make these however many franchisees there end up being generate enough income to make it worth their while.
Yeah.
But so it's going to be interesting. It's interesting to see where they advertise, how they advertise, how they market.
Yep.
Yeah, and hey, these guys aren't the world's biggest for nothing, so they've got a fair idea about how to do trades at the very least. I'm not sure photography is more than just a press the button kind of job. I'm not saying trades aren't.
Yes,
it's not like a
manual labor thing like mowing lawns or building fences. Yeah.
But if you're a carpenter, I'm assuming you've got a fair degree of skill and art behind what you have to do as well, where simply mowing a lawn, maybe not quite so much.
Yeah.
And I know that, and that's not being disrespectful.
No.
Because I know the skill level to mow a lawns is extremely low because I can do it.
Was it Steve Peters or was it somebody else who suggested that the business opportunity that you were hinting at the end of the last episode was maybe a Jim's Photography and Drones franchise?
It's kind of funny.
I thought that was good.
I did do my own fake meme of photographer landscape services. So we landscape your garden, then we photograph it.
Right, that's right.
No one's applied for the franchisee of that yet. So so that's kind of been my week. I've been sort of mucking around and playing around with that sort of stuff and keep myself nice and busy.
Yeah, nice.
And yourself, have you done anything exciting?
Mate, for me it's been the week of eBay.
Ooh.
It's been the week of eBay all week. I was absolutely stoked and absolutely amazed at how quickly my new old 20 mil lens arrived from Japan. Like, it was here delivered 4 days after it was shipped from Japan. And two of those days were a weekend.
Oh, wow.
I think it shipped on Saturday and it arrived here on Tuesday or Wednesday. It was just
I had a cable ship from Western Australia on Monday, and it's Thursday night now, it still hasn't arrived. The other side of our own country.
There you go. So my 20 mil has arrived. I've not yet gone out and taken any serious images with it. I just snapped a couple of quick images in my studio at work just to test it. But, yeah, it looks great.
Today, what kind of conditions are they in?
Better than the one I lost.
Oh, nice.
So that's a plus. Today, my new 10-stop Nissi screw-in 77mm filter arrived. So 10-stop neutral density. The only problem is I lost all my step-up rings went with the camera bags. although I've ordered a new set of step-up rings, they haven't arrived yet. So I've got this filter and I can't use it.
I wouldn't order those if I were you. Order step-down rings. You're probably going to be a lot better off.
No.
Yeah?
No.
So you're going to step it down from the big filter size down to the small filter size?
No. All the filters I'm buying will be 77mm because the biggest lens diameter I have at the moment is 72. So you step
You want to step down the filter. You're going to step down the filter to the lens, not the other way around.
Well, we'll find out when they arrive. I might be horribly disappointed and have to wait another week.
That'd be funny.
I'll be keen to see whether you're right or I'm right. I thought you wanted step-up filters because you're stepping up from the front element size to the filter size.
Stepping down from the filter. Do you understand they're both the same thing?
Well, no,
if you're stepping down from the filter, filter down to the lens or from the lens up to the filter, it's the same thing.
No. There are step-up rings and there are step-down rings.
I know. I've been in the business 36 years. I've seen them.
I know.
Right. So, but what I'm saying, what you're saying doesn't matter if you're stepping. If you want to use the term stepping up from your lens to your filter or down from your filter to your lens, at the end of the day, it has the same effect.
It depends on which side the thread is.
It does make a big difference.
Yes.
Mind you, I'm ballistic. I could never get those things right.
So I'm waiting on those to arrive, and they'll hopefully arrive in the next day or two. And I've got about four other things that are in transit at the moment. So, it's been a fun week waiting for new bits and pieces to arrive. One thing that I did want to mention tonight is a shout out to the guys at photobookshop.com.au. I've mentioned photobookshop.com.au. Now, these are the guys that I've used to make my photo books after our family holidays
for years and years.
And they're based down in Victoria. And in particular, I'd like to mention Sophie, who's like the customer services manager. I sent them an email. No, they don't, but they probably will listen to this episode. I sent an email a couple of weeks back now and said, hey, do you guys have an ICC profile for your, print process that I can load to softproof my images because I've changed from Windows to Linux and from Lightroom to Darktable and I'm not sure about color management and I just want to check all this stuff before I commit to these books. And I traded a few emails with someone who obviously didn't have a clue about what I was asking for, who eventually passed me on to the production people who passed me on to Sophie. And Sophie, sort of came back to me and said, what is it you're after? And I explained the situation and I said, look, it's nothing. Because she came back and she said something about, I noticed that you've ordered books from us before. Have you been happy with what we've produced? And I said, yeah, absolutely. Been happy with.
No, that's why I'm coming back. So I really hated the stuff. Sorry,
So I said, it's me that's changed my workflow and I just want to make sure that, it's all going to look right. And her next email that came back said, I'm happy to offer you a complimentary 20-page, 20 by 20 centimetre softcover photo book so you can just do some tests on your current images and see how they print on our paper stock and our print process and yada yada. And I thought, wow, that is so cool. It's good
that
to get
very, very nice
good one. Customer service like that. So, yeah, thank you, Sophie. Much appreciated. So she sent me a redemption voucher, like a code. And so last night I just basically went through and grabbed 20 images, not quite randomly. I chose a lot that had some, you know, a lot of dark tones and, you know, lower mid-tones in them, but also some brighter stuff as well. And what I did was I exported them all at a, you know, reasonable resolution for the size of the page that they're going to get printed on. But then I also took screen captures of the histogram in Darktable, and then I've put those images on the same page along with each of these photos. So basically, I'm going to have this 20 page book.
Oh, dear God.
So I'm going to have this 20-page book with an image and the histogram sitting beside it, so I can get an idea of... Yeah, I knew you'd be like that. So anyway, thank you, Sophie. Much appreciated. Really appreciate the great customer service. And,
if Sophie's listening...
Yeah.
And let's face it, her ears are probably bleeding by now anyway. If she's listening and she would like to offer our lovely listeners a discount code on a book... Yep. We would happily promote that for her.
Definitely. Definitely.
So, yeah. So if that wonderful. And I'd like to apologize, Sophie, for Bruce's book.
Hey, I made no efforts to make it look great. It's really just a reference for me. So.
I got it. I got it.
You're horrible.
And I would expect nothing less, quite frankly.
You're a horrible, horrible man.
Thank you very much.
But while I've been trawling around on eBay...
Yes, what else you buy?
I've bought not a Gorillapod, but a cheaper version of a Gorillapod.
Oh, people. That's okay.
I've bought a lens hood to go on this 20mm lens because it didn't come with a lens hood.
No, that's good. Yeah.
I've bought a little reflector bounce hood thing for my flash.
Yeah.
I've ordered my new flash.
Nice.
And is that it? Oh, and the rings. And I think that's everything for the moment.
Nice.
For the moment. Yeah. But whilst I was, you know, surfing around going, what else do I need? What else do I need? I started thinking about memory cards because I now only have two memory cards. One,
yeah.
You know, the 8 gig that I had in the camera at the time the bag got stolen, and the 32 gig card that I bought in England. And so I looked on eBay, and I looked for SanDisk 32 gig, you know, 160 megabyte per second write speed memory cards in compact flash format.
Yeah.
And here in Australia, they start at about $50.
Right.
The one I bought in England cost me £14.95, which, allowing for the conversion, is about $22 Australian.
And your point is?
We're getting ripped off.
No, how many times have we had this discussion over the years?
Yes, and you keep on saying it's about our workers want higher rates of pay. I don't think our workers are on double the living standard of English workers.
Yes.
What, you think we are?
Get out of London. Get out of that area, which is a microcosm of wealth. Mm-hmm. And go to the rest of England.
Yeah.
And compare what we earn compared to what they earn. Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. I remember a few years ago, I did a comparison of what it was like to buy a camera living in England, buy a camera if you lived in America, and buy a camera if you lived in Australia, and buy a camera if you lived in Hong Kong, based on average income. Okay, so cost of camera divided by average income.
Right.
Australia was the cheapest place in the world to buy everything by about 20%.
Right.
When you earn the money, the average income in this country and buy in this country, as opposed to buy the average wage in New York and buying from B&H, yeah, or averaging. I assure you, it is significantly better.
Okay.
And once again, go do the test. Go look, pull up the 2016 annual wage of any country you want, and go and do some comparisons of the cameras and have a look at it.
Mm.
And then, once again, remember the lifestyle we have here.
Yeah.
Compared to those countries.
Okay. I honestly didn't think that there would be that much of a difference in lifestyle between an English, average run-of-the-mill worker in England compared to here.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Take your word for it.
whilst we talk about memory cards, don't buy memory cards on eBay.
No. I know.
So many counterfeits. Counterfeits is going to do you.
Actually, speaking of counterfeits, there is two other things that I've ordered. One was another Nissi filter, which is a circular polarizer, and I have a suspicion that I may have bought a counterfeit there, because I happened to notice that my 10-stop filter I had bought from eBay username Nissi Filters Australia, and it is actually the genuine Australian distributor for Nissi filters. And I happened to notice amongst their other products the Nissi circular polarizer, and it had completely different packaging and was about four times the price of the one that I've ordered. So I suspect that the one I ordered may be a counterfeit, but I'll find out when it arrives, because I paid about $30 for it, and it was about $130 for the one off Nissi Filters Australia's eBay page.
Just before we go on,
yep.
Mean wage, annual wage of England, £22,044. Mean wage of Australia, £80,704.
Wow. Okay.
So you're £22.
Yeah, it's about $35,000.
It's a big difference, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's double, right. More than double.
Jeez.
More than double. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. how much more was the filter? About double?
No, this was memory card.
It was
£14.95, which is about $22, and like I said, they start on eBay at about $50.
Okay, so just over double,
yeah.
Which is, funnily enough, exactly the difference in weight. Isn't that funny, eh?
And at the end of the last week's episode, we were talking about, or I was bemoaning the fact that of the things that I lost in my camera bag, the one thing I was going to miss the most was the trigger trap cable.
Of course, to do all those lightning shots that you do.
So I went off and looked at the Pluto website that you mentioned, and happened to notice that they have cables for all the different cameras. And so I've looked at the Sony cable, and I've gone, hang on, it's a 3.5mm stereo mini jack on one end, and it's the 3-pin Sony plug on the other end, and it's just a piece of wire in between. That should do the trick.
Awesome.
So I've ordered one of their cables, which was $5 for the cable and $6 for postage. So I'm looking forward to seeing that cable arrive, and, you know, fingers crossed, it should be able to talk to the Trigger Trap app on my phone without any problem, because it's just a dumb piece of wire with a connector on each end.
Exactly.
So,
man, can't wait to see those lightning shots and there's balloon bursting,
that's
of course.
Right.
Let's not forget the balloon bursting.
And what was the other thing? Oh, I ordered myself a new hard drive yesterday as well, because I went to get my photos backup drive out of the cupboard, because I was thinking, oh, at the moment, I really only have one copy of the images from Europe, and that's the ones that are sitting on the hard drive of my desktop production machine. I really should back them up, and found that I only have about 16 gigs of space left on that hard drive, and I've got about 65, 70 gigs of photos to back up. So I've just ordered myself a new 2 terabyte hard drive. Two or three? Might have been a 3 terabyte hard drive. So that's on its way. So, so it's been a busy week of purchases this week.
Absolutely.
Now, I got an email about a week ago from Eric Mazath, who was bemoaning the fact that he could not download all of the old episodes of Shutters Inc.
Oh, that's deliberate. It's a public service.
Thank you. And so I went and looked into it, and found that the reason for that was because somewhere back along the way, I mucked around with the folder structure of the media assets on the hosting server.
Yeah.
And I've realized that, you know, these little tweaks that I made actually affected all of the old episodes. I assumed, apparently incorrectly, that any previously published WordPress posts would remain untouched and that only new posts going forward would be affected. But it turns out that with the type of change that I made, it retroactively adjusted the links in all of the old episodes, which made the assets unavailable for download. So I just wanted to mention that that has now been corrected, although Eric tells me that episode 140 is still not linking properly, so I will look into that. Why you want to go that far back, I don't know. But
I thought it was a change.org petition that to tell us to stop and desist. We had 14 votes on that, saying, mind you, most of them are just my immediate family. Well, I reckon, you know, I reckon for sheer dedication, if nothing else,
yeah,
we should dedicate this episode to Eric.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. The sucker for punishment episode.
Yes. There you go. Now, about a week after... Actually, it wasn't even a week, maybe about 4 or 5 days after Kath and I left Portugal, we were over either at Zamora or Bordeaux, I got an email from a lady named Anna Gunn telling me about a photo festival that she is trying to get up and running for its first year in the Portuguese city of Porto. And I wrote an email back and I said, "Hey, Anna, thanks for the email. I'm on holiday. I seriously just passed through Porto like 4 days ago. Shame you didn't reach out earlier, but I'm not doing anything regarding this right now because I'm still on holiday. I'll get in touch when I get back." And so I sent her an email a few days ago and said, you know, look, I'm back in Australia and happy to, you know, give you a little bit of a shout out on the podcast. So Anna Gunn, welcome to Shutters Inc.
Hi, thank you for having me.
That's all right. So, okay, my very first thing is I hear your voice and I don't hear the voice of a native Portuguese person, so where are you from?
I know, the accent kind of gives me away, right? I'm originally from the UK, so yes, I moved to Portugal, so I'm not native Portuguese at all. Bit of a cheat, right?
It's a pretty easy part of the world to live in, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Well, you've just been travelling here, right?
Exactly, yeah. So it was funny that, you know, when your email arrived in my inbox, I think I was in Bordeaux. We'd only passed through Porto, you know, maybe a week before. So it was kind of unfortunate that it happened, you know, that you contacted me just after I'd been, but... having said that, I probably wasn't in a position to do anything, you know, recording-wise anyway, so, yeah.
Oh, no, I was just sorry to have missed you and shown you the city, so, yeah, just a week too late. Oh.
Do you know what? It's a funny thing that you mentioned that, because we were going to stop in Porto, but we had 3 nights booked in Lisbon, and we spent our first night there and our first day there. And we got to the afternoon and went, you know what, really don't need a second day in Lisbon. We're ready to push on. And so we blew off our third night of accommodation and said to our Airbnb host, you know what, tomorrow morning we're just going to hit the road. And the following morning we did actually go out and check out Sintra, because a mate of mine who had been there said, oh, you've got to see Sintra while you're in that area. And so I said, okay, fine.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So we spent a couple of hours in Sintra that morning, but then we hit the road and we had been going to stop for the next couple of nights in Porto. But we sort of hit the road and went, you know what? We're kind of in the mood for something a little smaller and a little quieter. And so we ended up going past Porto and getting an Airbnb at Falme. And Espesende, which are sort of two little towns, you know, only 5 minutes apart. An hour north of Porto?
Yeah, it's up on the coastline, right?
Yeah. So we spent a couple of nights there instead. So it's kind of funny that you...
So you missed Porto entirely.
We missed it entirely. Okay. Yeah, oh, we just drove around the outskirts.
Oh, I'm gutted. Oh.
But it does look like a beautiful city. And, in retrospect, we probably should have stuck our head in there at least to have a look. So, these things
the things you think about afterwards. No, it's a fluid travel thing, isn't
it? Well, that's the thing. You know, we were all about, you know, not booking everything in advance and let's just sort of play it by ear, you know, and that's just the way the cookie crumbles. So,
no, they often make the best holidays, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. So, we're not here to talk about my holiday. We're here to talk about your photo exhibition. So, tell us about it. How did it start? What's it about?
Oh, well, Porto Photography Festival kind of came into my head over, where are we? August now. So, last July. And I had this crazy idea.
As in 2 months ago or 14 months ago?
No, as in 14 months ago.
Right,
2 months ago, that would have been something to have organized all of this in 2 months. And I think that when the idea first kind of came into my head, I kind of was trying to push it away, going, go away.
Right.
Go visit somebody else, because this idea, I realized it had to be done, but I was like, oh, no, that's... just seems like a lot of work.
What exactly was the idea? Was it simply a photo exhibition to highlight Porto?
Well, no, actually, some of my friends had founded the Capture Film Festival over in, I think it's Toronto, and we'd been talking with them a lot because we had run little experiences over here with international photographers here. And we'd seen that actually you learn far more from a collective and you learn far more as a photographer within a group that are pushing your levels up.
Sure.
There's a lot more that you notice. I learn online. So I come from a background of having learned my photography online. And I understand the value of that when you can't get hands-on experience. But seeing other photographers interact with each other, I think we realized, there's something, it's far more, you know, this experience, it's something that the online really doesn't give you.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of played with that idea a bit. And my friends were organizing these festivals. And I'd said to them, look, you know, we've got this amazing backdrop of the UNESCO World Heritage Site on our doorstep. Do you think like a festival here running workshops in the streets of Porto could actually work? And of course, they instantly said, yes, this is an idea that absolutely can work. The exhibitions really are something that we haven't done this year, because what we'd planned to do is to make something absolutely fundamentally high quality that is a small, if I say small, it's a week, but it's a smallish thing that we could then add on to once people had participated and once we'd had the call for submissions and once we'd got work from the workshop, we thought we would add the exhibitions on in later years.
Right.
The idea was much simpler in its structure, was to run a week of workshops and masterclasses in that week of such world-class quality that would attract an international audience as well as serving nationals here, because there's never been a photography festival in Porto before.
Oh, really?
It's never happened. No, this is like the first of its kind here.
Wow.
Which is fundamental of why I was so keen to do this, because all of the photographers, they've been teaching all over the world. If you want to go to their workshops, normally you would travel, I don't know, Dubai, UK, America, Venice, but never Portugal, which seemed crazy.
Yeah.
And it seemed like we are well prime position in Europe. And it's not only beautiful backdrops, but it's relatively a cheap place to travel in Europe.
Yes.
It's incredible. Yes. You've traveled yourself, so you understand this.
Yeah.
It's easy to get to, and it's really safe and secure, and the people here are really welcoming. So yeah. All of these elements kind of just put together went, well, this is a no-brainer, really. This has to happen.
So during this week-long festival, which we'll mention, well, you can tell us the dates now.
So it's going to be from the 11th of September to the 17th of September.
Right. So over those 7 days, how many workshops are there going to be? Is it one a day or is it a whole bunch? Or
yeah, it's a whole bunch. Really, we have some that run for 7 days, which is the John Stanmeyer National Geographic photographer will be running his for 7 days. But we have others that will be running 1 or 2 days, such as David Nightingale running Shoot the City, Shoot the Street, yeah. Creating Dramatic Images. Penny de los Santos will be running 4-day workshops. Craddock Bagshaw is here, and he's running a series of workshops that you can either take 1 day or the full course. So there's something for everybody,
yeah.
Depending on your availability. And what we decided is, alongside the workshops, if you didn't have the time to do the workshops, you could perhaps do the masterclasses, which are running every single evening for 2 hours. And these photographers then will be talking about creating contents, how to tell stories, how to change your careers around, make sure that you're still able to make money in a photography, changing it. All sorts of topics will be covered.
Yeah, right.
Really, it's not a themed photography festival. That was the beauty of it. There's a lot of themed photography festivals already out there. So we kept this very broad, but the distinguishing features were that the content that is coming here, you won't get anywhere else, because right. You don't have photo anywhere else. So
yeah.
the Shoot the City, Shoot the Street, these are not workshops that you can get anywhere else in the world, because they're here. And we've worked really hard with these photographers to make sure that what they bring here is going to be exclusive to Porto. And that was really important for us. So there's the added element of, you may have seen these photographers before, but right here, right now, you won't get this experience anywhere else. And that was like the predominant pushing factor of this.
Yeah, nice. So how much do these workshops cost to attend?
Again, this depends really on your budget and what you'd like to take. We have, we cater for everybody. So the John Stanmeyer is €2,000 for 7 days.
Yep.
And then David Nightingale's class is €250 per for the day. Craddock Bagshaw is again €250 for a day, and the masterclasses are a really affordable €25 each.
That's great.
So it really, yeah, it depends like where your budget is and what your time restraints are as to what you'd like to do, and you could just pick and choose which ones you'd like.
Yeah, nice. And so, is there a limit to the number of heads that can fit into any of these workshops or masterclasses?
Oh, yes. I mean, the workshops, because they're a hands-on experience, we limited the workshops to 15 places only.
Nice.
We figured that would be a nice group. You're supported well with our volunteers as well as the instructor. And also, we've got sponsors that will put photography equipment into your hands at that time without any sales.
Oh, nice.
So it's not a trade show. There won't be any pushy sales going on here at all.
Sure.
It really is turn up, learn. That's what we're here for, is giving content. And the masterclasses on the evening, well, we have 290 places each evening.
Wow.
So then it's a bigger platform. And those ones are far more accessible, as they're €25. So you go in for 2 hours. We'll have a coffee break. There's coffee and cake, which is mandatory here in Portugal.
Of course.
That happens. And also the idea is to be able to network and meet other photographers in the area and visiting photographers as well. So there's that element of networking going on.
Nice. Now, you've set up a website for this.
We have, yes.
And what's the URL for the website?
It's very, very easy to remember. It's portofotofest.com.
Excellent. And how has the I guess, the level of interest in the festival been so far?
Well, we've had a phenomenal response to the festival so far. As you can imagine, John Stanmeyer's name is always very, very big and draws the crowds in. Sure. So we only have a few places left for him. But also we have Sara Lando coming, and she's also attracted her own little group coming in. So we only have a few places of hers left. So there's really not many places left. So,
well, that's good. That's a good thing.
Yes, it's great. Yeah.
And so how many, like as a rough percentage, how many people that are coming from other countries, and how many are people who live in Portugal who are just, you know, making the most of the opportunity that's on their doorstep?
Well, I think it's pretty much as we figured. We figured that the workshops would draw the international crowds, and right. The masterclasses would drive the national interest.
Yeah, right.
And actually, it's not been quite as clear cut as that, because having these photographers on Portugal's doorstep for the first time ever has drawn a lot more interest in the workshops, because they've never had access to these photographers face to face before.
Yeah, right.
So that's been really, really great to have that drive here. And also to have national support has been incredible. So that's, you know, that obviously drives everybody talking about it, and the excitement around it kind of goes, oh, do you know this is happening? And I've heard that from a couple of friends who've told me, do you know that this is happening? And I'm like, really? It's happening? Wow. I have no idea. It's fantastic.
That's awesome. They didn't know that you were behind it.
No, it's great.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. Well, Anna, I wish you the very best with the festival. It sounds like it's going to be great. And I would imagine in following years, when you've got, you know, photographic works to include as, you know, an exhibition, then it will simply steamroll, hopefully, and gain, you know, more interest as the years go by.
Oh, absolutely. I can totally see that this is a fixture on the landscape of the calendars that'll happen. And as the years go on, it will only grow and get better.
Fantastic. So once again, the URL for anyone that's interested?
Is portofotofest.com.
Beautiful. And you can register your interest there, no doubt. And can you actually book places?
You can book, you can sign up to our newsletter, you can buy the tickets straight away and reserve your places. You can buy masterclass tickets there. Everything is right there for you.
Fantastic.
And now, if you are coming, yep. I will be around. So say hello on the time that you're here, because I will be awesome. Popping in and saying hi.
And I would imagine you've got a whole plethora of social media platforms. I assume there's a Facebook page and an Instagram account.
Oh, you would be right. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'll get all of that information from you offline, and we'll include that in the show notes. So there'll be links in the show notes for this episode for anyone that wants to click through to either the website, the Facebook page, the Instagram account, or whatever other platforms Anna has set up. We'll have all that information in the show notes for anyone that wants to check it out. And having, you know, recently gone through Portugal, I certainly could not recommend this enough. It is such a beautiful country. I can understand why you moved there, Anna. I for one, am not a fan of coolish weather, so I can imagine you're loving the warmer climate in Portugal than you would have had in England.
In my first years here, if I was ever down, I would turn the weather channel on, look at London, look outside, see the sun, laugh, turn the TV off, and I would be all right for the day.
Beautiful. Oh, that's great. All right. Well, Anna, thank you for reaching out. Very happy to give you a voice on the podcast. And we wish the Porto Photo Festival all the very best.
Thank you for having me.
No worries. All right, so moving on. Steve Peters sent us a couple of things.
Before you move on.
Yes.
So the lovely Anna.
Yeah.
I've got to say, that was a fabulous interview.
It was.
That I wasn't privy to or invited to participate well, in.
Mate, you're always busy on a Saturday. And we had to record.
Did you ask?
Hey? I don't have to ask. I know.
Was it last Saturday?
Yes.
I wasn't working last Saturday.
You're just saying that.
No, I wasn't. I didn't work last Saturday, I assure you.
I didn't come here for an argument.
Yes, you did. This is a 5-minute argument of the full half hour.
That's right.
So I'm going to say now, I'm sure if I listen to this episode, I'd agree that's a fabulous episode. But hopefully Anna's listening.
Yes.
And all power too. I hope it goes successfully well.
Yeah.
And is she going to follow back through and give us some more information once it's been held?
I said, look, next year when you're organising the second one, you know, reach out to me a little bit earlier in the year, like sort of June, July, and I'll happily have you back on the podcast and we can, you know, promote it a little further out. Because for this year, it's, I think, 11th to 17th of September. So I said, get in touch with me around June, July next year. We can, you know, get into it a little bit sooner and give people time to plan for it and all that sort of stuff. So, so it's the first year for it this year. And, I wish it well.
Well, I would love to go there and do that.
I'm sure you would. And I mentioned you to her.
I expect you would.
Yes. So
quite frankly, I'm fabulous.
Hopefully Anna will reach out to you and discuss that. So, awesome. Anyway.
So, how did she reach out to us? She must email. Have just been trawling the net for. Yeah, no, but I mean, it must have been trawling the net for the top 1,000 podcasts. And she really went deep. She went deep into the list.
I don't know. I'm assuming she.
Even if it was just alphabetical, she's put some effort in. I wonder how many took the time to interview her.
I think she's only been on one other podcast, which was The Candid Frame. I mean?
So how powerful are you doing that all by yourself without inviting me along?
Can we move on?
Not sure, can we?
Can you build a bridge and get over it?
This might have ruined our relationship. It's not the first time you've done this.
Because it was going so well up to this point. dear, oh dear.
Next.
Steve Peters also mentioned the Jim's Photography and Drones. Also posted a link to the Facebook wall about the Indian couple who were police officers who faked their ascension of Mount Everest and they photoshopped themselves into a photo of some other people who had made it to the top of Everest. and they've actually been fired from their positions as police officers.
Well, you can't go out lying if you're a police officer.
No. No, you cannot. Not and get caught.
No.
Adam sent us a couple of things. One was a $28 flash from Amazon for Canon and Nikon DSLRs. Now, is this just like your sort of run-of-the-mill Yongnuo Chinese knockoff type stuff?
Of course.
Right.
Full manual, I'd imagine. I haven't looked at it, but I imagine it's full manual and just point and press, and you've got to try and figure out what exposure you want every time yourself and so on, I would imagine. For that sort of price?
I don't know. It's got what appears to be like the little red window on the front of it, which would be the AF, you know, range finding sensor activity.
But, you know, a bit of red plastic doesn't necessarily...
No, I didn't say it was.
I know, I've used flash guns that had the big red plastic on the front. That don't do nothing.
Yeah.
They don't do nothing.
It is a fairly low power flash. It's only a guide number 33.
Which is fine.
So... Yeah, depends what you want to do with it.
Well, that's all the case, of course.
Yeah.
But back in the olden days of the 80s, we used to sell 16 and 20 and 24 guide number flashes all the time.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, your Sunpak, 24DX is a classic example. It was a very popular flash gun, only had a guide number of 24, So
why has the guide number of flashes crept up? Is it increases in technology or is it demand from consumers for more powerful light?
It's possibly both. I have no idea.
Right.
And I'm prepared to admit that live on air. by live, I mean recorded, so you can cut this bit out later on.
That's right.
So it looks like, and insert some computerized voice with the correct answer.
Right.
That maybe sound like Stephen Hawking.
Which will sound totally unedited.
exactly right. I would imagine it's a bit of both. I mean,
yeah.
the ability to build bigger capacitors.
Yep.
And bigger thyristors,
yep.
If they still even use that term technology anymore, to put out more oomph.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't know how much of it will actually be demand, because, you know, sometimes one thing leads to the other. And it's kind of topped out anyway. It's been stuck at 44 for
20
years.
There's a lot of flashes that are more powerful than that.
That's not.
Yeah, there are. All those Yongnuo 560 series, they're all guide that's number 44. 58.
They're not.
Guide number 58.
They're not.
Why aren't they?
They're a guide number 58 at a zoom head of 200.
Okay. Well, they're no, the 560s don't go to 200. They only go to I can't remember off the top of my head, but they did not go that far.
So at 50 mil, which is where most guide numbers are kind of guessed, because you've got to go kind of middle of the range, they're 44. Like the Canon 600
right.
RC, 58 guide number, no, it's 44. They're all, unless you, remember, if you're out of the 14 mil, your guide number's down to like 28 or something.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's very misleading to say, oh, I've got a 58 guide number flash, because there's very few occasions, you know, when they had zoomed into 200,
because
you're going to get no coverage over your subject.
Well, it depends where your subject is.
Well, we're talking about...
If your subject is 20 metres away and you're shooting with a 200 mil lens, that might be what you need.
Might be.
So the one that I've ordered, as I mentioned last week, is...
The Amazon one. It doesn't work for yours because you're only
playing Sony. No. The Yongnuo that I've ordered is a guide number 66. But what that is at 50 mil, I'm not 100% certain.
44.
Okay.
They're all 44, dude.
Okay, if you say so. the next story from Adam was from F-Stoppers, and it was how I became a better photographer by analysing my Lightroom statistics. Shall I wake you when I'm finished?
I reckon this article is written by, and I haven't actually looked to know, by the same guy who wrote the article, How to Choose Your Next Lens by Looking at Your Lightroom Statistics.
Well, that's quite possible.
Which is basically his rant about how much he hates the 24-70.
Right.
And no, it wasn't written by me.
I was just about to say. So the headings of his post are, one, I learned that I need to shoot more consistently. So he's got a little graph that shows the peaks and troughs of his photographic endeavours over months of the year. And it looks, mine would look even worse. Number two, I leaned too heavily on my zooms and I didn't use them properly. Three, I needed to cool it with wide open apertures. And this is column graph, and the f2.8 one is absolutely heads and shoulders above every other aperture. Four, I really hated the 50 mil focal length. Probably not alone there. Five, I knew what gear I didn't need. So, I'll leave that in the show notes for anyone that wants to read that, or you can... grab the link off the Facebook wall. And the last thing Adam posted was about L&P, the Australian photographic distributor going into liquidation.
Yes.
That's probably a week
very
ago
sad.
Now. Yeah.
Yeah, very sad. It is yet another.
Now, is it L&P that has, I know Dragon Image does, but did L&P have a Melbourne operation and a Sydney operation?
No, just Sydney.
Just Sydney, right.
Yeah. But once again, they were high end. They're the high end pro stuff. I mean, they were the distributor for Phase One, for Capture One, for Cambo, Pocket Wizard, Siconic.
Yeah,
yeah, a lot of big brands.
Right.
And which is also very very expensive, obviously, as you can imagine. So yeah, it's a pro photo imported for a while. So it's a different world. And once again, I'm sure they're dealing with the Chinese market of cheaper lighting and cheaper all this sort of stuff that diminished their market and cheaper triggers, so Pocket Wizards aren't what they used to be, all that kind of stuff isn't going to help. So, but once again, 38 years. And what's really sad is and this is what I've been saying for a long time about buying local and so on and so forth,
yep.
is these guys were some of the best supporters of photographers in Australia. Right. The amount of free events they put on, the amount of retreats they put, the amount of stuff they did for the industry was huge.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's gone now. That's all gone. Every event, everything, the amount of work they did with AIPP, where they sponsored events and sponsored awards and stuff to bring emerging photographers through the ranks, all gone. Who's gonna be there for the next generation of photographer? The guy in the factory in Taiwan selling stuff on eBay? No.
No.
There's not going to be any support. There's no one left. It's all going to be gone.
Yeah.
And, yeah, this is the fate we are sending ourselves into.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I said I spent the day a couple of weeks ago, the entire day behind the counter in one of Melbourne's biggest camera stores.
Yep.
And all I heard all day long was the salesman don't even get a chance to talk anymore. It's what's the best price you can do with this? What's the price you can – what price.
Yeah.
All we care about, rather than, hey, is this the right product for me? I've been looking at this. This is the kind of stuff I do. What's your take on it?
Yeah.
It's all gone. It's to the point now where the salesmen don't even try and engage, and they simply say, are you buying today? And if you're not, they kind of walk off. And people go, oh, I hate going to those stores because they're so rude. And well, we've made them that way.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't used to be that way, but after, if you imagine –
it'd be demoralising. If that was your work day, it'd be demoralising.
If you're day in, day out, 400 days a year, I was going to say, 300 odd days a year, all it is just haggle, bang. Not talking about the passion of photography, not talking about going places and doing stuff with the photography. It's just, yeah, we've created this, you know?
Yeah.
So it's very sad that lovely people and Bruce Pottinger, the owner,
yep.
One of the nicest guys you would ever. Adam Davidson has done a lot of stuff with him over the years. He's gone there in the retreats and stuff and bought a stack load of gear. And they've been super good to him because, I mean, he's a bit of a prat. So he's lovely, Adam. If anyone ever gets a chance to meet Adam, he's the loveliest of guys,
He's a top guy.
He's a top but he's just got one of those faces you want to insult. As lovely as he is. So once again, I know he was a bit bereft at the fact that this great supporter of his photography is now gone.
Yeah.
You know, so it's pretty sad all around.
Yeah.
But anyway.
All right, so should we quickly belt through the things that you've got on your list?
Oh, yeah, I got nothing. I've got a little thing there for if people want to do 2.5D parallax effects. It's a little Photoshop trick, which is kind of cool and a bit of fun.
A what?
I'll just look at the video.
Oh, I see.
And there's one there which I don't even know. Even the title doesn't tell you what it does, so I better click on it myself.
I gave up painting
to do photography, and it shows in my work. There's some interesting takes on a different way of seeing photography. This guy's got some really cool images, which are really kind of nice.
Oh, wow.
Yes, nice. Good stuff. Computational zoom. There's one for you, Bruce.
Okay.
Computational zoom. Ever click on that? You'll love this one. This is right up your alley.
Right. Oh, that looks like absolute bollocks. I saw this through the week. That sample photo just looks awful.
I didn't say it was good computational zoom.
Seriously?
So basically, you'd be able to zoom in and make your photo look like you're shot with a 100mm lens when you're shot with a 20mm lens or something. If your background's too far away, it looks stupid.
But but the thing is, it hasn't changed the look of the foreground subject.
It's not supposed to.
So if you change lenses, it would.
Yeah, but that's, the point is, it's basically if you're stuffed up, and you think it's important the background's too far away, you can bring it in closer. Or there's something too close to the background, you can push it further away.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of, if nothing else, amazing technology.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah, we'll give them that.
It's being done. Here's a little thing on DP Review about, or Deep Preview, depending how you prefer it, showing that inside this video game, there's a photo studio. It's a car racing game. And you drive your car into the studio and have photos taken of it.
Why?
Well, it's a good question.
Because this is a big gamer thing of having, you know, creating screenshot photos of the car that you're driving in the game. Oh, okay. Yeah.
But here's the thing. Many years ago, I'm going to say 10 or 11 years ago, maybe,
yeah.
I was at a secret meeting of the Buck Rogers Group.
Right.
The Buck Rogers Group is a very small collection of American photo industry people.
Yes, you did mention this a couple of years ago.
Since like 1920. It's an invite-only thing, and
right. You
only get in if someone dies, all that kind of stuff. Anyway, I was there, and it had this guy from MIT there saying, talking about the future of photography and all this sort of stuff. Yeah, what could photography be in the future? They're trying to get this sort of an idea of where the thing. And he said, "Does anyone have any sort of crazy ideas out there that they think photography could become?" And I said, "Well, do you know the game Second Life?" And the guy did, because he's into all this sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, "Well, so what someone needs to do is open up a camera store inside Second Life, sell fake cameras with fake digital film, so people can take photos of their fake friends in this fake world, but then send them to a real photo lab in the real world and have them printed out." This is 11 years ago, and here we are. We've got the photo studio in the game already.
The real world's caught up with you, Glenn.
I still think there's a ways to go. And my last thing is, and I'm not sure how much of this is true or what's going on, but we talked about Bowen's going out of business last week.
Yep.
And one of the things they complained about was that it was all these Chinese manufacturers undercutting them. Yeah. Well, all their Chinese employees, of Bowen's have written this letter out to the public saying that we haven't been paid. They stopped paying us in July, but they expect us to keep working.
Wow.
It goes on. So it's kind of a bleak little thing going on there. And I'm not sure. Calumet, the people who own Bowen's, saying no, they've been paid. These people say no, we haven't been paid, and it's a kind of a tricky situation when you liquidate a company in one country, but you've got manufacturing stuff in another complete country with different trade regulations and trade rules, and what kind of a nightmare is that? You know, so that's something to keep a bit of an eye on and see what progresses and see if that ends out reasonably well for them.
There is an update correction at the bottom of this blog post.
I know. They're saying that they've been paid.
Yeah.
And then as it says in the comments, who would know more? The people bleating saying we haven't been paid, or the big head honcho of the company saying, oh, no, they've been paid, and not offering any proof?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, maybe not. Or maybe some have been paid, some have, but either, it's a, be very interesting
very
to see,
sad
to
for
see
those,
what.
Employees.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So
I've got to wonder, though, what's the incentive that keeps them showing up to work? Like, if they're not being paid, why would you keep working?
So hope that they actually will get pay. I guess if they leave, they probably won't get anything.
Yeah.
There's probably a degree of loyalty and pride.
Yeah.
There'd be saving face possibly. There'd be maybe under contract. So you can't go or you won't get references to work anywhere else until because you left. You know, who knows? There might be all sorts of things there that's pressures that we don't know about. So very interesting. But such a complex subject. That's a nice thing to finish up on.
It's very uplifting.
Very uplifting. So what we want to see is for the next little while an offer from Photo Bookshop.
Photobookshop.com.au.
Bookshop.com.au.
Yep.
An offer for our many, many listeners.
Yes.
And I insist that you do a follow-up with young Anna.
Yep.
And how the show went.
Oh, okay. So just after this year's show?
Yeah, I'd like to see how it was gone.
Okay.
What was the six? This is interesting stuff for anyone who may want to do some sort of event. What lessons did she learn? Maybe we'd get her on one day and we could talk. Oh, no, you've done that.
I will endeavour to organise a time when you are available to join us for the next chat. How's that?
But it would be lovely to find out, okay, how did it go? Was it successful? did the, is it, does it look viable? What were the lessons did they learn? What they're going to do different next year?
Yep.
All that kind of stuff. I think it'd be pretty cool to find out.
Okay. Definitely. There you go, Anna. Don't even have to wait until June of next year.
Love to hear more. Love to hear more.
Awesome. All right, mate. Well, you have a good week.
And you too.
I will. I shall be putting all my new gadgets to practice as they arrive.
Absolutely. So we want to see the photos next week. Is that what you're saying?
I will hopefully have something shot by next week so that, yes, I can share something.
Awesome. Right, take care. And thanks, Eric.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. It took me a little moment then.
It's a special named listener of the week.
Yes.
Yeah. Bye, everyone.
See you, mate. Okay, and I guess we'll wrap it up with another book review from David Marland, 20th Century Photography. This will be interesting. Take it away, David.
Thanks, Bruce. A couple of books ago, I reviewed John Sikowski's Looking at Photographs, which was John's selection of 100 photographs from the New York Museum of Modern Art's collection. Each photograph meticulously described, and there was no more than one photograph per photographer. This book is called 20th Century Photography and features photographic works held at Museum Ludwig in Cologne, Germany. Museum Ludwig, like MoMA in New York, is devoted to modern art. However, it's got a few differences. Firstly, it began in 1976 compared to New York's 1928. And secondly, the Ludwig collection looks at art created on or after 1900, while New York houses some earlier works. Let's talk more about that later. The books also differ quite a lot in their approach. 20th Century Photography has over 730 pages of photographs, often with multiple images from the same photographer. The text mainly concentrates on the photographer themselves and lets the photographs do the talking. And there appears to be no rationale as to why some photographers get a mention and a single picture, while others get multiple pages with multiple photographs. A further difference is that although the book features some American photographers, there's less of them, and there's a greater emphasis on European photographers. Yes, there is your Adams and your Steiglitz and your Steichen and co. But even the selection is that there's less emphasis on the grand vistas and more on artistic interpretation. So there are things that you don't often see in other books from these people. And this is more in line with the European way of viewing things. And that's what makes this an interesting book. There are photographs by those you think you know, and they're not quite what you expect. And quite frequently, you will come across photographers you don't know, but the works are excellent. They bring new aspects to everyday things or avant-garde portraiture. This variety is much broader than you see in other books. There's also some recurring themes. One, for example, is Marlene Dietrich, who features regularly in portraits. And you can see her over a number of decades. She was around a long time, and so there was a lot of different interpretations of her in this book. But this museum claims to focus on works from 1900. There's a few oddities. For example, there's photographs by David Octavius Hill. He was one of the early pioneers of photography, and he lived from 1802 to 1870. And he used the Talbot's method of taking photographs. Now, he's well before 1900. Now, the portraitures they show of his show his understanding of light to produce these portraits within the limitations of the equipment of the time gives you plenty to think about. Now, it's another oddity in another way. There's no index at the back, no table of contents. It's a book, you read the introduction and you get straight into it. A great dipping book, but something with lots of inspiration and ideas. When you look up 20th Century Photography in Booko, you get a wall of books. 20th century photography is very popular as a title or part of a title. And thrown in for good measures, there's several editions of this one. Look for Museum Ludwig Cologne as the author. My version is a hardback, and yet all the listings on Booko are paperback. And I couldn't find the particular edition I have. By the way, I picked up mine by chance at Dimmicks. Book Depository lists it at $24.98 delivered as a paperback. When I went into the publisher's site, and the publisher is Taschen, T-A-S-C-H-E-N, it is clearly depicted as a hardback at £12.99 plus postage. And that's at their London store because that's the nearest to us. Dimmicks, however, have the hardback at $49.95. And at this price, considering the content, it's really good value. Cheers.
Excellent. Thank you, David. All right, that will do it for another week. I shall endeavour to get out and do some shooting this weekend. Hopefully I'll have some of the bits of gear will have arrived and I'll be able to use my new Tensop filter and my new 20mm lens. And yeah, anyway. All right, until next week, take care.
ShutterZinkPodcast.com.
AnotherAudioToYou.com quality podcast.
For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@ShutterZinkPodcast.com.